the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Let us know what is on your mind. Well, it's that time of the week again. We do this every Friday, Friday afternoon, Friday morning. I've been doing a lot of afternoon radio lately. Excuse me, but we do this every Friday. Our returning champion, he is my state senator. Always a pleasure to bring on State Senator Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Another busy week, and you know, definitely getting ready for session. You can feel it in the air.
Yeah, a feeling in the air is not the way I would describe it, but it's certainly a feeling. Kicking off here, well, let's just kind of talk about what's going on nationally. You look at the I'm enamored with this California situation, but what they've done out there, the way government sort of is, you know, they seem to prioritize all the wrong things out there, and I think it's catching up with them. And I wonder, you know, like, this is like fascinating to watch to me, but you wonder if there's going to be some lessons learned here about what you prioritize in your life, what you hold in high regard, and just like, be glad we don't have anything like that in Alabama.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, look, conservatives should be focused on, you know, spending taxpayer dollars on public safety, public roads and public education. And that should be about it. And so when you get into a situation where you're not funding your public safety because you've made other priority decisions, and those decisions get highlighted by a catastrophe like this, you ought to be called on the carpet and you ought to be held to account. You know, the government has few responsibilities, and when it stubs its toe on one as badly as they've done with this, there ought to be consequences.
Yeah, well, and you know, the other thing that I have some colleagues that work out there, that live out there. One even lost his home to this. But we're talking about, like, the insurance policies. And a lot of these people had their insurance canceled because of, you know, it wasn't necessarily the risk, but it was the government intervening, saying you can't charge but X amount for homeowners policies in this area. And State Farm and other insurers just said the hell with it and walked away from it. And now here a year later, look what's happened.
Well, and Jeff, you know, I serve on the banking and insurance committee and have since the very beginning. We just wrapped up a coastal commercial insurance study commission dealing with coastal insurance problems that we have down at the beach. It is a very tricky situation, and you have to be very careful. Our neighbors to the east of Florida have seen this with overregulating that industry, because those carriers will simply close up and leave your state. And then what do you have? And so there is certainly a balance between consumer protection and the free market. And you can really mess up by overregulating an industry like that, because you will be left with no quality carriers anymore and only exacerbating an insurance crisis instead of fixing it. And so, you know, while I am very concerned about and work very hard on insurance issues, I am always cognizant of what we see happen based on overregulation in other states, and where government just made it worse.
Well, because people want you to wave a magic wand and, you know, make this right. And it doesn't work that way. Like, these are private companies driven for profits. And it's not like a utility, you know, that it doesn't serve in that function. And it's like, you have to look at it from that perspective, and it's hard to, it's really hard to, because there's so much personal attachment and whatnot to these things, but that's what's going on here. And you can't just have the magic hand of government make it right.
Not at all. And so we've done some really innovative things in Alabama with the Fortified program. Especially along the coast, it's invested, you know, tens of millions of dollars in homes in Alabama, and specifically in the Gulf Coast area. And we've done really, really well with that. And it's done meaningful, you've seen demonstrable movement in insurance rates down for those properties. But it does cost money. And so we encourage that through grants from the Department of Insurance. We also encourage that through building code changes that really require new structures to be not just up to code because the structure is stronger, but because it's insurable at that point. And so that investment pays off long term, and we force those insurance companies to provide rates that are much more competitive for structures that are actually built to code. And so I've seen it, I know, in my house with rates that are much lower because the house is gold fortified than what it would have been otherwise, or even if I could have gotten insurance otherwise.
That's kind of interesting to talk about because, I mean, in my lifetime, we've had a couple of rebuilds because of hurricanes along the Gulf Coast. They're going to have to go through this in California in a much, much more, on a much more dramatic scale, even as populated as the Gulf Coast is. I mean, it is, you go to Pacific Palisades and all those communities around the Hollywood Hills and whatnot. I mean, it is jam packed in there, and they're going to have to rebuild. And you kind of wonder, like, you know, the lesson from, like, I guess you look at like a state like Florida or somewhere and the way they've done it and having to rebuild and rebuild for the circumstances, which is there it's earthquakes and fires. I mean, here it's tropical weather, but that it's going to look totally different, I would imagine.
I think so. I think you can expect, and you've already seen in some places, building code changes that require, you know, structures to be built that are much more fire resistant than what we see. And of course, you know, that extends, and we're seeing this in California now, that extends to vegetation. And what we've got to realize is that this is a natural phenomenon, just like, you know, the tropical events we see around here. You know, these types of fires have been going on. This is natural in large part. And so it's just something you gotta deal with, and you gotta survive to live in areas like this, and frankly, like we do as well.
Yeah, I just listen to people talk about it, and like I said, having some colleagues that are experiencing it firsthand, it just you sense the eeriness, familiarity of like what it's like when you have discussions with people after like a Katrina or whatever, and knowing that they're gonna have to deal with these same sort of insurance, you know, companies and all the red tape. And then what the added layer here for them is going to be this, the rebuilding. And what's the state, what's the city of Los Angeles? You know, they've social engineered everything down. Everything's supposed to be environmental friendly. That's not going to make it very easy to get permits, building materials, it's carbon neutral, whatever it may be. Just think of that nightmare, Senator.
Well, I think of that from, you know, from an affordability standpoint, and it's a challenge that we face here along the coast as well. You know, look, we know how to build things that are wind resistant. We know how to build things that are fire resistant. We know how to do all of those things. It just costs more money. And as you continue to add regulation that may be very well-intended, you end up with homes that are less affordable, and you end up in place in instances where you just price people out of the market. And we see that in Baldwin County through subdivision regulation changes and zoning issues and things of that nature. All of that adds cost. Now, it looks prettier, it's nicer, it's less dense, et cetera. It just adds cost. And that's something that, you know, anybody who's making those types of decisions needs to be very aware of, is that you'll end up with housing stock that is unaffordable.
Well, yeah, and it just furthers the class divide that, you know, these people are preaching about all the time, but only the millionaires and billionaires are going to be able to afford houses in some of these places. Well, that's where they're going to build. And it's going to be more secluded. It's going to be more inclusive or whatever. And it's just not going to be, it's just not going to be live up to all these expectations that are like supposed just virtues of the left now.
You have to look at the big picture, and you have to understand that we cannot protect from everything. And at the end of the day, you have to balance the cost-benefit analysis of some of these regulations and whether or not you implement them or not. And that's a challenge. I remember being on a commission. That's a challenge that local governments face, and a challenge that, they're certainly facing in Baldwin County in particular, and will face in California as well.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. I'm gonna toss this. It may seem like a bit of a mean-spirited question, but it's a text question, but it's a layup, Senator. And well, I had a texter, you know, ask, like, what part of our GOP majorities are fiscally responsible right now in Alabama? And while we may not be living to the letter of the law that are a textbook definition, I mean, things are a lot better now in my, you know, at this point in my life in Alabama and on that front than say they were when I was like in grade school, for sure.
Well, we are doing much better, but there is room for improvement, and it's easy to focus on some of the things that are not great, and we can certainly talk about those. But I will go back to the principles that I was talking about earlier, and that is, you know, we need to realize that we should only be spending money on public roads, public education, and public safety, and that's it. And if we just stick with that, we'll be in pretty good shape. But Republicans, since we took over control of the legislature in Alabama, have done an exceptional job at managing our budgets. We also, on the whole, have seen nothing but economic growth since that occurred. And so we haven't really had to endure the hard times. And that is where my concern comes from. It is easily to be fiscally responsible when you have plenty of money. It's a whole lot harder to be fiscally responsible when you don't. And so I think as we see our budget starting to flatten out, that these and you see the excess of the COVID money from the feds start to dwindle, things are going to get a lot tighter. And that's where you're going to find out who the real fiscal conservatives are. I'm pretty pleased that we've been able to manage our budgets well, that the surpluses have been put in savings accounts, that we have not overspent, but I am concerned about what's coming.
Well, you know, we talked about this, and you said Department of Education would be a place to cut. Senator, I just, it still bothers me that, like, it's like a lot of things that we seem to think that, you know, well, they'll happen eventually. They'll widen I-65. They'll build the prisons. In a Republican-led government in Alabama, I mean, we're not talking about, like, the traditional Republican things they do, right? We're not talking about shrinking government, especially, like, maybe even a pre-COVID footing or whatever. I mean, is it just – that's just, like, silly pie in the sky – Jeff Poor ideological stuff, or like, you know, is it time to start talking about that?
Well, it is time to start talking about that. And we need to be spending money on stuff that people can actually see. Right. And so that's where I go back to roads and bridges are a great example. Right. If we've got excess, you know, funds, we don't need to be talking about what program we're expanding. Right. What handout we're expanding. We need to talk about where we're putting asphalt and concrete. You know, we need to talk about where we're building, you know, things that benefit the public, and not simply saying, oh, we've developed this new program, or we're going to plus up this or plus up that. That's not the core responsibility of government. It's far from it. And then we need to do what we have been doing. And it's not perfect, but it hadn't happened in a really long time until we got there. And that is got in control, and that is tax cuts, right? If you have more than you need, it's time to start giving some of it back. So we've done that with a grocery tax. We've done that with overtime tax exemptions. And there are other places. We've done that with a freeze on property taxes, right? There's not more than this percent increase year over year. All of those are belt-tightening measures that are good for the public and good for the state and good for our economy.
Last question. What's the prospects of doing something on the SSUT? There's a drumbeat, a steady drumbeat about take it away.
There is no way that a Republican legislature is going to raise taxes this close to an election. I understand where the cities are coming from, but it's not going to happen. They're wasting their time. If there is ever a way to fix the online sales tax, it is a technological solution that will, a technology solution that will allow us to actually collect and then divvy up that revenue as it would have been if it was a brick and mortar sale. That's the only solution. It certainly is not a solution to raise taxes. That's crazy.
It's not going away, and there's already, I guess, a bill pre-filed from Chris England, Tuscaloosa, but the arguments like that we got to do this to make it a more fair playing field. I mean, is that even a legitimate argument in your mind?
The market changes, and you have to adapt and change with the market. You cannot rely on government to prop up the way we've been doing business for however long we've been doing business, just because we've always been doing it that way. You have to innovate, you have to adapt, and you have to change with the market if you're a business person. Don't come to the government and ask us to hold back the market and hold back innovation. I'm not interested in doing that.
Senator, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on this morning. Hopefully that was as painless as I could possibly make it, but we'll do it again next week.
I always enjoy it. Thanks for your time.
State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.